Warmer weather has started to reach us, and it's certainly beginning to feel like spring. Now, when I was a kid, it was about this time we started noticing an abundance of bees beginning their communal buzz. In the past few years, I've personally seen less and less of that. David Fair here, and this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. We already know bee populations have been on the decline. Now, a local study is looking at the local bee populations and the impact urbanization has on their numbers. My guest today is among a group of University of Michigan researchers working to quantify those impacts. Gordon Fitch is a PhD candidate in the U of M's Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology, and thank you so much for the time today, Gordon.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Am I wrong? Are there less bees today than we've seen in decades past?
You're certainly not wrong, but I think the picture is a little bit more complicated than just bees declining. I think particularly with urbanization, there's been some interesting recent research finding that if you're just looking at the raw numbers of bees, there's really not a big effect of urbanization reducing bee populations. But if you sort of dig into those numbers, there are some really interesting and perhaps troubling trends in bee populations in urban areas.
All right. Well, before we get specific into your work on urbanization impact, and that's where we're going to spend most of our time today, I do want to question about a couple of issues we've covered in the past on WEMU, and maybe it's all related in some way or another. For a period, all we could talk about was colony collapse disorder. Is that still a prevalent issue?
Yeah, it certainly is, but that's really an issue exclusively for honeybees, which are obviously an extremely important pollinator, but they are a non-native species introduced from Europe.
Right.
And our research primarily focuses on wild bees.
And we have not seen any of that carry out into the wild with these other species of bees.
Not colony collapse disorder. Most of these wild bees are solitary, so they don't actually have colonies.
So if we look at some of the other issues, pesticides, even climate change, parasitic infestation, are those issues for the wild bee population as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think chemical use is probably the number one issue for a lot of our wild bees, but there's also spillover from parasites from honeybees and certainly loss of habitat as well.
We're talking with U of M doctoral candidate Gordon Fitch on WEMU's Issues of the Environment. Gordon, among a group of researchers that have been studying the impacts of urbanization on the wild bee populations in the area. So, as I understand it, you and your team conducted wild bee sampling at 26 sites through a 70-mile span of southeast Michigan. Is that right?
That's true.
There are all kinds of different bee species. How many turned up in your research?
So we found about 144 species, which, to give you some perspective, there's 450 recorded for the state of Michigan. So that's quite a big chunk of our total bee diversity.
Again, did you find the numbers you thought you would in these targeted areas of research?
To be honest, we were surprised at how many species we found, and particularly that some of the highest diversity we saw was in quite urbanized areas.
As you studied, were the environments you chose diverse as much as the bee populations? Urban, suburban, rural, pure forest?
The study sites we chose were embedded in a diverse landscape, but all of our sites were actually community gardens. Represented high quality habitat, even if they were surrounded by less high quality areas.
So what were the impacts of those different environments for male and female bees? Does gender make a difference?
Yeah, so this was really the thing that surprised us the most. So if you're in rural Washtenaw County, you'll find that about for every 10 male bees, you'll find about 9 female bees. But in our most urban sites, we found that for every 10 male bees, we were finding only 5 female bees, suggesting that there's something going on that is reducing the number of females in urban areas.
And one would assume that affects future populations.
Right, exactly. So what I was saying earlier about there being a rosy picture for bees in urban areas might not be so rosy in the long term if, in fact, most of those bees are males and are not able to successfully reproduce.
So if we were to look 5-10 years down the line, and this is a trend that continues, what kind of impact are we going to see on our community gardens, in our neighborhoods, and obviously in our agricultural communities?
To be honest, we really don't know, but it seems likely that we would see reduced populations in bees in the long term. And even if somehow we manage to maintain populations but have this skewed sex ratio, males and female bees behave differently and pollinate differently, and so we might see changes in how well both crops and wild plants that we all care about are pollinated and able to reproduce.
issues of the environment, and our conversation on local bee populations continues. My guest is Gordon Fitch, a PhD candidate in the U of M's Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology. Development, it does continue to eat away at our wild areas. Many of our urban areas are expanding. So how do we use your research to ensure a stable and sustainable population of these invaluable pollinators?
One really key thing that we found was this change in the numbers of male and female bees was only for ground nesting bees. So a lot of our, most in fact of our wild bees nest underground. And to do that, they need loose soil. And so we think that one of the big problems with urbanization for bees is that it reduces the areas that our ground nesting bees can successfully nest. So I think probably the biggest thing that we can do is maintain areas that are have loose soil, not super compacted, not covered in gravel or concrete or whatnot, to allow those bees to nest. And then secondarily, but you know, of almost equal importance, is making sure that we're avoiding chemical use in yards and gardens and providing flowers for those bees to feed on.
Beyond the site, we're talking about, many urban areas are expanding, new development is popping up, our areas with that loose soil is becoming less and less. So beyond the science, should there be, in your estimation, a plan or policy for pollinators in any urban design plans moving forward?
Absolutely. And I think there are some great examples, both locally and nationally, internationally, of people really trying to put pollinators on the map for policymakers. I know there's a group, Bee Safe Ann Arbor, that is advocating for reducing application of pesticides and other chemicals. And I think efforts like that are absolutely vital.
And in our homes, so a lot of us live in areas where there are neighborhood associations, so a lot of the native species or letting the yards go natural doesn't really work. You can find yourself in violation of the association policy. So how do we accommodate all of these things, how a community decides to live and protecting the environment and the species that it survives on at the same time?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think part of it is changing hearts and minds. I've already seen this change in the short time that I've been working on bees, but getting people to have a greater appreciation for our native plants and for the value that a less kempt lawn can provide to pollinators, I think can help to alleviate some of those conflicts. But, you know, they're certainly going to continue causing challenges for the foreseeable future.
So when talking about changing hearts and minds, if you would or if you can, try and paint me a word picture of what Southeast Michigan would look like with the absence of bees. How would our lives change without them?
First of all, we'd have much less to eat. About 70% of the food that we eat comes from plants that require animal pollination, including a lot of the fruits and other favored Michigan produce. And then also many of our wild plants, our favorite spring ephemeral wildflowers and so on, require pollinators to successfully reproduce. So we'd see a much less colorful and less flavorful world.
I was going to say, so my point being is that our quality of life declines significantly if we don't find better ways to protect these pollinators. With that in mind, as we look at the disparity in genders of some of these ground-dwelling bees, are there artificial means by which we could supplement the populations and return them to the wild?
So that's pretty tricky with ground-nesting bees. There's been success with bumblebees, which do generally nest in the ground, getting them to adopt artificial nest boxes. As far as I know, there's not a lot of other success with non-bumblebee ground nesting bees, unlike a lot of the cavity nesting bees where you can put out bamboo tubes and so on and get those bees to colonize it. I think really the best course of action is to set aside a little space with some loose soil and let the bees do their thing.
So what will you be doing, Gordon, next in your research in advancing this study that you've been doing?
We're continuing to monitor bees and trying to reach out to people who are interested in these, what I was just talking about, actually, the trap nesting bees. So we've been working with some folks in Ann Arbor who are finding interesting patterns with the parasitism rates of these bees and how successful they are in reproducing. And we're interested in looking at how urbanization might be affecting those patterns as well.
Well, thank you so much for the time today. I have a much better understanding, and I will look forward to an opportunity to talk to you more about it as your research advances.
Well, thanks so much. I really appreciated the opportunity to speak with you.
That is Gordon Fitch, a PhD candidate in the U of M's Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology. He's been studying wild bee populations in southeast Michigan for years, here today discussing, among other things, the impacts of urbanization on our local bees. Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. It's presented every Wednesday. For more information on today's show and to visit the Issues of the Environment archive, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.